Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real Weight Loss, and thank you again for listening. Today's topic will be a fairly heavy discussion, but it's something that has been in my mind for quite a while, and I'd like to get it out there via this podcast because I think it's really important. As usual, I aim to speak the truth as well as I can in hopes that it will help somehow. It seems to me that there is not much compassion in this world for people who are overweight or obese. I should mention right here at the top that I have so far spent my life on the west coast of the United States, the majority of that in California. So I want to acknowledge that my experience and viewpoint has all been from this place in the world, and I of course can't speak for other countries or even the rest of this country. My impression about this lack of compassion has come from the people I've lived around, as well as books, the internet, magazines, television, and the rest of the media. And as I mentioned in another podcast, I'm also only referring to people who are significantly overweight, not someone who has 5 pounds to lose so that they can look better in their bikini. It has been my experience that many people have a terrible attitude towards people who are overweight or obese. People seem to have the idea that since being overweight is something that is fixable, anybody who is still overweight must be lazy, lack self-motivation or self-discipline, or simply can't control themselves. When seeing a person who is overweight, the automatic assumption seems to be that this person stuffs themselves with food all day and never bothers to get any exercise. Many people are put off by overweight and obese people so much that they won't even be associated with them through friendships or other relationships. People who are overweight also get passed up for jobs or promotions. This dislike goes so far that people who are overweight get dirty looks in public as if they should be ashamed of themselves. This, of course, can easily lead people to actually feeling very ashamed of themselves, so much so that they'd rather not go out in public at all. This is a real way of life for many overweight people, and I think that people who have always been naturally thin don't understand this. They don't understand it the way a white person can't understand racism. In fact, I think the situation may be very similar to racism in a lot of ways. There is no question that it is discrimination, at the very least. The idea that thin is good and fat is bad drives people to hate themselves. It drives people to eating disorders, to self-punishment, and the need for therapy to work through these things. Many people need therapy to work through anorexia and bulimia, and it's serious and life-threatening. The cycle of binging and purging can be easy to get caught up in, even if it's not as full-blown as bulimia. Feeling terrible about yourself means that a person needs to be comforted. This comfort can often come from food. It's cheap, readily available, and most people were taught in childhood that food equals comfort. Then, overeating, or just eating at all, can cause more emotional pain so that a person wishes they never ate or wants to never eat again or goes ahead and actually purges the food or doesn't eat for as long as possible after the last binge. This kind of cycle, of course, leads to further depression because of the huge ups and downs in blood sugar. One huge problem with all of this is that a person can't just stop eating, since eating food is necessary to survive. A person can't make a decision to just stay away from food from now on, since they know that they don't do well around it, the way an alcoholic can stop drinking. Let's think about this comparison to alcoholism a little bit more. Imagine that alcohol was like food, and you had to have it to survive. Imagine that there were some types of alcohol that were better for you, and some that were worse, and there was always conflicting information about this. A new study every other day that told you that this alcohol was great and that alcohol was bad, and then a year that flipped back around the other way. Imagine also that you were supposed to drink a certain amount of alcohol, but if you drink too much, you'd run the risk of diabetes and heart disease. Now imagine that you were also addicted to alcohol, and when you drank too much, it made you do crazy things. It made you ruin your relationships, lose your job, be looked down upon in society, and maybe even get into a terrible car accident. But you can't stop drinking it. For one thing, you're addicted, and for another, if you stop drinking it altogether, you would die. There are people who have legitimate food addictions. And for the rest of us, food does provide a sense of comfort. We've all been wired to eat food, and when we do, we're rewarded with a satisfied feeling. Eating is a part of so many social functions. Family gatherings, dates, work parties, and outings with friends. You have to have food with you at home so that you can eat regular meals. If you don't, you die. And for most, if not all, people who are overweight, their relationship with food has been skewed or completely ruined. Food no longer provides fuel for their bodies, but instead it creates deep emotional pain in so many ways, over and over again, through years and decades. And here we are living in a world that treats obesity like it's a simple problem that could be fixed if people would just get their acts together and eat less and exercise more. In my podcast so far, I've been trying to offer a solution to go along with the problem. This one is more difficult. I can't neatly solve discrimination towards overweight people any easier than I can solve discrimination against the homeless or anyone else. This problem also has two aspects that would have to be worked on, one in your own personal life and one in the world as a whole. As far as your own personal life goes, I think the best thing is to seek out people who won't treat you unfairly. There are many people in this world that don't behave with this lack of compassion, and they may even be a majority. It's very helpful to have people around you who understand what it's like to be overweight. And it's helpful to be able to discuss how you feel with someone who was also there or has been there. This is one good argument for having a weight loss buddy, someone who is on the same weight loss plan as you, or someone that you can exercise with. But again, I want to caution against becoming too dependent on this person. If they quit, you have to be able to continue with your plan on your own. As far as the rest of the world goes, I don't know if I have any solutions at all. It seems that the discrimination against overweight people gets worse and worse as there is more and more awareness of it. There is always something on the news about the high percentage of obese people in the country, and there is always some new study about how obesity contributes to so many health issues, and there is always a new workout DVD to be sold, a new magic pill to be sold, and a new food plan to be sold. All of this constantly adds to the idea that being thin is good and being fat is bad. And it is true, obviously, that being fat is unhealthy. But so is smoking, and smokers aren't treated like they're lazy for not quitting, and so is being a professional football player, but they're not shunned everywhere they go. So, I just don't know. I would suggest that you could take any small steps you can to spread a little awareness that weight loss is not what it seems. But people who have never needed to lose weight may not be able to understand it because they've just never been in that position. Just like I don't really understand what it's like to have cancer because I've never been there. I can try to imagine, but you never really know until you experience something for yourself. It's a big problem. If you have any ideas, please do share. After all of that, let's have a new easy vegetarian recipe, homemade French fries. French fries are certainly one of the comfort foods, but you can make them at home in a very healthy way. Potatoes shouldn't be eaten all that often since they are so starchy, but once or twice a week is no big deal. Here are the ingredients. Potatoes, the type you would bake. One small one is plenty for one person. spices, such as a general Mrs. Dash type of spice, or whatever you like, plus a little pepper, and nonstick cooking spray. Here are the directions. Preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Spray a baking sheet with nonstick cooking spray. You don't need very much, just a light coating. Slice up the potato. I have one of those vegetable slicers with the different attachments for different types of slices, but you can use one of those or just cut it up with a knife. I'd say no thicker than half an inch. The thicker they are, the longer they will take to cook. Once your potato is sliced, dump it all in the baking sheet and toss with the spices. Then, lay out all the fries as flat as you can so that they're not piled up on top of each other. Bake for about 30 minutes, turning them once or twice. These are really awesome fries. French fries, just like you've always loved, but they're not fatty or greasy at all. So this has been a little shorter than normal, but it's a difficult topic, so I think that's probably enough for today. This podcast has a website at realweightlosspodcast.blogspot.com. As always, if you would like to add to anything that I've gone over or ask any questions, you can go there and leave a comment or send me an email. I will answer your question in the next episode, or I can get back to you privately over email if you'd rather I do that instead. Thanks again for listening. Keep up the good work.